This is professional radio, gentlemen.
And it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now we do the after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin there.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Right on the Car Talk, it's Tuesday night here on 90.9 Northwest FM. It's me, Matty J, online with Edward Bunting, David Prince, Scotty Doe Johnson, and Mr. Rob Sadai. How are we, gentlemen?
Good, thanks, Matthew.
Doing well, thank you.
Very good.
Hopefully you're all doing well. Let's crack on with some car updates. Now, just before the show, we're talking about some updates in Edward's fleet. So we'll start with Ed with your Civic. You've dropped it off to get sold.
Yeah, so the little 74 automatic, well, Honda-matic Civic two-door, very original little car, still on full original black and white 1974 plates, which has got to be quite rare in this day and age. Everyone's gone to club plates or to the crusher. So I've sent that out to the Grays Classic auction, and, hopefully that finds a new home with someone who wants to enjoy some motoring. But I was just saying today,
with a guy called Chris someone or other.
Chris, that's who I'm dealing with.
Yep. And how often do they have the classic auctions per se?
I think it's not actually a scheduled thing. I think they just churn through them. Okay. You know, it's not a set date and time like a Shannon's auction sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's, we've got that car, bang, we'll put it live once the buyer approves the ad and you set your reserve if there is one and on you go. So, yeah, I drove it all the way out there under its own steam, doesn't overheat, doesn't do anything nasty, drove well on the freeway and said, here you go, have fun with that. So that's the Civic. What other updates do we have? The BMW Compact is back from having some roadworthy repairs done. So that was things like rocker cover gasket. There was a coolant pipe on the back of the head that was weeping, so they replaced that. The drive shaft coupling rubber donut thing, they replaced that. So it's going in tomorrow to actually get the roadworthy, and then I'll give that a wash and advertise that. But it's driving a bit tighter in the front end. Oh, caster bushes too in the front end, you know, just the typical BMW caster bush issue. But yeah, it's driving really well, that car. So we'll see if that can find a new home. My little Yaris four-door hatch, courtesy of a family friend of David Prince, that drives really well and beautiful service history on that car, but it was cosmetically let down by the front bumper not being quite right and the roof had a bit of fade on it. Just lived outside for a couple of years and that's sort of affected it. So I'm getting all that done and spending more money on it than I probably should be. But I sort of like the idea of bringing a car back too. So it's like, well, if I can bring it back and give it a second life that isn't just a bashed around Uber Eats car, that might be nice. You know, it's a form of recycling. I sort of like that.
Absolutely. True.
It's going to be a bashed up Uber Eats car. They all end up that way. Your Cure ended that way. They all
do. I know, my poor little Cure. But I thought, well, it's costing me more on this end to do the paintwork than I wanted, but that means I'll just be asking more on the other end. So we'll see how that plan goes. What else do we have? There's another car I'm forgetting. The Subaru Impreza is in getting its roadworthy things done, which was new front discs and pads and rear shockers. They weren't worn. They were just weeping, and so we're doing those. And that was it for that car. The rest of that car was Mickey Mouse and... Yeah, that drives well too. I sort of like getting in any of the ones I've got at the moment. They all are nice cars to run around in. Probably the Subi's my favourite. You know, that's a really sort of just feels solid and grippy and all-wheel drive. I like that car. I was thinking, geez, if Mum didn't have a Yaris Cross, I'd be tipping her into this Subi at like a tenth of the cost, you know. That's those three. What else? The Moke is on club plates. Did I say that last time?
No, you didn't.
So I had a little bit of time. I took off that Monday between the Sunday and Cup Day. And I had a little bit of time. And so I went, well, I'll just pop over to, I was down the peninsula. I thought I'd pop over to Dramana, Vic Groads. And thinking that everyone will be on holidays and that the beach was beautiful weather, there'll be no one there. Ba-bam, wrong idea. Everyone decided to go to Dramana Groads because, hey, oh, got the day off. Let's go to Vic Groads and stand there for an hour, which I did, an hour waiting to see the counter. But you never know what happens at these things. Anyway, the lady was very efficient and stamp, file. There you go. Once I got there, that was great. I paid for the trade plate top up while I was there. So happy days. But in the line, I was standing next to this guy and we were bitching and moaning about how long it was taking. And he runs a hire car business down on the peninsula. So he picks people up for the airport, runs them to wineries or parties or whatever you want. And he was quite a funny guy. He's got about 8 acres down around that area. And I said, oh, what do you do with the land? And he said, oh, I was growing olives. They used to be $9 a kilo. Now they're $2 a kilo, so it's not really worth growing olives. So I ripped some of the trees out and put up some sheds. And now he does vehicle storage as part of his thing.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, so I thought, oh, I never know who you meet. So he's got 18 caravans down there, but most of them are outside, just with covers on them and some without covers on them and whatever. And then he had a handful of cars. He goes, you know what, Ed? I've got 6 Holden Barinas behind my shed. And I said, really? And he goes, I said, what sort of Barinas? Like early, like 80s Barinas? And he goes, yeah, 80s Barinas. This guy's had them there for 6 years and he keeps paying me every month, you know, like a slightly reduced rate because they're behind the shed. But I said, are they any good? Like, surely they're not pristine cars. He goes, no, they're ratty as. He goes, I can't understand why he wants to keep them. And I was like, oh, whatever. And he goes, one of them's done 18,000 Ks from new. And I'm like, well, that's cool. That's very unique. He goes, yeah, but it's hit a tree. The front of it's like this. And it's all caved in. So, you know, so I was just like, he was bemused by it. And I was laughing about it. But he just
stole his business card.
I have got his business card.
Not surprising.
And, yeah, I was telling him about my caravan. He said, oh, I might have a spot inside I could put it in. Anyway, you know, it would cost me a bit to put it there, but I thought, well, it's good to just have little backup options. So that was interesting. Made the time go a bit quicker, you know. That is my car updates. I think nothing else.
Mr. David Prince.
Oh, goodness. I've been driving lots of different parts of the collection the last week or so. The club ran another 50th anniversary of the Civic event as part of the Sandown Historics on the weekend, which was good. A bit of a schmozzle in the end, but you know, these things happen. We missed out on our laps of the track and our photo shoot and stuff that we were promised, but that's only because there was some crashes early on. And I think it was 7 minutes into the first race before the first incident that required an ambulance. So luckily the guy's okay, but he's got a broken wrist, I believe. Yeah, could have been much worse. And as the old adage goes, that's motor racing. You just can't tell. So someone came to me at the middle of the day and said, you know what, those things you're going to do after the last race of the day, we're so far behind that we're going to keep racing and you can't do those things. So that was fine. We were originally going to do the Saturday and the Sunday, but I did a bit of a survey on the day and no one was coming back on the Sunday. So that's all right. I just told the guy that I was dealing with VHRR and that was no problem because he said, I'll just park other cars up there tomorrow, get another club in that's got an overflow of cars. That was no problem. And all was fine until about 10 to 9 on Sunday morning when one of the members of the club rang and said, oh, where are you all?
Said, oh, shit.
We're actually not there. I'm sorry, I meant to. It was my fault. I should have sent an email around or a text. Or I can't text everybody in the club, but I was just so happy that I didn't have to go back on a Sunday myself. So I felt very bad about that. So if you're listening, Tommy, I am sorry. But I picked up the finally got the brake. The wheel cylinder is done for the Redden 360. So I, for the 50th anniversary display, I had the AH Civic Grand Prix edition, limited edition 86 Civic Hatch. That's just a remarkable car. I mean, it was hasn't done a huge number of Ks. It's done about 168, I think. But when we got that car, it was a dog's dinner, and we spent a bit of time fixing it, you know, tidying up cosmetically and giving good service and stuff. It's one of the nicest cars in the collection to drive. It just drives, it's willing, it's beautiful little gearbox in it, really tight gearbox still. Just a great little car and just sailed down there beautifully. So I had that for the weekend. Then I popped that back out to the place where it's been hibernating, picked up my LN panel van. So I bought that back, swapped that over with the red Scamp. Now that's back in my garage. So that's having a bit of a check over before Classic Japan.
Which is not far away, December 3, isn't it?
December 3, yep. So
I better book for that.
Yes, actually, I must too. I haven't.
Let me start writing a list while we're all here.
And during the course of last week, actually, I dropped the City out to have a tiny little thing that was annoying me done. There's just a little bit of rust in the part of the front pillar. And I just thought, you know what, that's the only bit in the whole car. If I get that treated and looked seen to now, we should be right. And sure enough, got it treated. That actually got picked up the other day. It suited a guy who dropped a car. My dent and paint guy had dropped a car just around the corner from me. He said, is that City ready for me yet? I said, yep, ready anytime you like. So he took it, used it as his transport to get back to Bayswater. And then lo and behold, I get home today and here it is sitting outside all finished and done. Key in the letterbox. It was perfect.
But what had he done? Taken out little dings in it?
Yeah. And there was just a couple little spots of rust coming through in the pillar. And I know why, and I pointed that out. It's great. You just wouldn't. So those cars were susceptible to rust if they were left outside, around the tailgate and the firewall. This one's clear as a bell there. It was just that this pillar, and I, as I said, I know why. Sometimes the weld down the A pillar on the outside of the A pillar had just started to separate, and that was just enough to let a bit of moisture in. So that's all sealed up again now and all sorted.
Beautiful.
So now comes the big shift. So the Civic Wagon, which is spoke about last week, that will probably go and have a visit at Grays with your Civic.
I'll be the toe in the water for the Civic market. And you
We may as well keep it just rolling along, mate.
Yeah.
So a few bits and pieces coming, moving along. And then the other big exciting thing I've been doing this week, can't say too much because it's still under embargo, chatting to a friend of the show's. He knows who he is, involving a certain Australian icon of motoring that turns 40 in 2025. So can't say too much. More to be revealed later, but plans are afoot. Let's just say that.
Oh.
Well, okay, we'll discuss after the show. Scotty?
Not too much car-wise, but still around where cars live is the garage. So that's what I've been doing on the weekend and laying some grass.
I think that totally qualifies, mate. That absolutely qualifies.
So we've got some grass out the front too, and then, yeah, just getting the garage looking nice and tidy, chucking up some of my pictures that I've done. Here I got some shelving from Dad, so I set that up at the back there. So I've actually got a spot to put all my bits and pieces, tools, car cleaning stuff, so it's all got shelving there other than just kind of all shoved in the corner of the garage. Just got a home now, so it's so much neater and tidier. It looks so good. That's it. That was my weekend.
What I ask is that, is the grass like a putting green or, you know?
unfortunately, it's
very
not.
Very good question.
I've gone for the buffalo, the Sir Walter buffalo grass, because it's
Sir Walter.
So heavy duty, it should last. But I got to keep going out and watering it all the time, so that's a pain at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. These things happen. What about you, Rob? Updates with you.
We're slowly converting a stock KQ laser into an SR. We've got an SR body kit, so we've got the rear bumper bar, side skirts. Many hours of fun at that. Is it Jolly's Auto Wreckers in Dandenong? Yeah. Many hours underneath the car there with the music blaring right next to you whilst you're taking the parts off the car. A lot of grazes and scratches.
Hang on, which car is this, Rob?
Well, my son-in-law acquired his mum's car.
Oh, yeah. I remember you talking about this car. Yeah.
So straightened out the radiator support panel, took all the broken parts, put on the new bonnet, the new indicators, everything lines up real well. So we've got new grill for it. We've spent something like all up maybe $600, and we've got the side skirts, the rear bumper with the rear spoiler, the top spoiler at the back, the tailgate spoiler. We also got the roof rails, but I don't think we're going to – we got them for, a very good price, the roof rails. So we thought we'll take them anyway. But to actually fit them off onto a stock laser, you're going to, I think, drill holes and rip out the roof lining.
Yeah. Oh, man, not worth it.
It's not worth it. And then you're going to create – holes and then leaks, things like that. So
I know someone who could take them off your hands if you don't want them, just putting it out.
I've got two sets, so you might
hang on. These are the roof racks. You've got a set, don't you, Matt?
Roof rails. Oh, I want to specify
the rails, not the actual racks.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so I've got the roof rails and all the plastics, all complete. I tried to take off one side, I smashed it to 1,000 pieces. So I decided to take it off complete as one piece. It was easier rather than try to, because I've got the plastic trim tool to try to pop it off.
Yeah.
And every time I try to pop it, it break. And I go, and I try to do it right where it clips in, even then it broke.
It's because it's
20 years of UV light does to.
I was just crying. Oh no! The first time, oh no! It's even worse. I gave up and left the actual plastics and that, but I got the rail bits underneath it. Yeah, but the plastics were trashed.
Yeah,
there was nothing left. Even the main plastic bit was broken in the middle beforehand.
Oh well, okay, yeah.
So I got one good left side, one good right side, and then bits and pieces of left and right.
Okay.
So if you need some pieces after we're finished, you're quite welcome to them. So basically, we're going to have to repaint things because we couldn't find white. So silver side skirts, green bonnet, green bumper. But if we're going to find – the price of parts is so cheap. If I could find another bonnet somewhere down the track and it's white, I'll buy a white bonnet and throw a white bonnet on it. It's just so much easier than trying to have to spray inside underneath and right throughout it.
At the moment, it's like a laser harlequin, basically.
Looks like a one of those old green cabs with the green bonnet and blah, 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 and white. Yeah, I think we could turn it into a cab or something like that.
Crown Comfort. Now, Rob, just putting it out there, they never made SR or SR2 in white, so you'd have the only one in Australia that would be that colour, which is kind of cool.
I think it will be cool, but we should maybe do an engine transplant to a 2 litre instead of the 1.8. But that's down the track. Maybe coilovers and stuff like that, get it lowered, stance it. So he's got all these ideas. It's because they bought the car brand new. It's been in the family. Son-in-law's aunt bought it brand new, then got handed it down to his mum and now to him.
Good.
So only got 20,000 kilometres on it.
How many?
120,000.
20. I just heard the 20. I was like, what?
120.
120. Yeah, still good. Still good.
21 years old. So
it's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's not bad. So the car's complete. Everything's there. So I just need to paint a bonnet and bumper bar to get it going, really. And then I can paint the skirts and do the other bits and pieces and drill the tailgate and get the spoiler on and whatnot. So, mucking around with that car. Speaking of guys storing cars, I happened to be looking at some motorcycle gear, and this guy, the lady who was selling the gear, has a whole lot of containers on her site, on an 8-acre site, roughly, out in Bullard, just the back of Melbourne Airport. And they have some real nice Mercs as well, but they actually have, what's the 1980s model Merc that Lady Diana?
That was 90s. That's a W... bloody hell, gone blank. 140.
This guy's got an SL 600 stretched.
Oh.
And not an SL, a lot of convertible.
Not an SL, S-class.
Yeah, S-class, W140 Diana, yeah.
Yeah, but stretched. And it doesn't look like it's been stretched by an aftermarket thing. It looks like some sort of original, and there's only one of I think it's the only one in the country or something like that.
I mean, they did. Ben's always did do factory stretches.
Mm. And it sure looks like a factory stretch. It looks so original.
Mm.
Left hooker or right hooker?
It's a right hooker.
Yep. So probably out in Japan. Mm. It's quite a market for them in Japan.
Okay. Okay.
Rolls Royce place that I did a lot of work for got a couple of stretched spurs and things like that out of Japan. In right-hand drive.
Okay. So that was quite unique. So apart from that, we missed what's the guy called? Seen Through Glass, that guy, the bald-headed guy on...
Mr.
Sheen on the YouTube channel.
Mr. Sheen.
Looks a bit like you, actually, Ed.
Yeah, I was going to say, a bit like me.
And Hugh Heal's driving a Lambo on the way to Winton last weekend, and he stopped at Airport West to fill up at the Safeway servo.
Yeah. Was it actually
his voucher? Coupon? 4 cents a litre off?
I don't know if he had the voucher or not, but yeah, that's where they stopped, and they actually were actually showing that on the YouTube. So his most recent YouTube channel, yeah.
That's really funny.
Yeah, and they were at the Young Timers Garage, they pay to go and see him. But yeah, so he's in Australia at the moment. But apart from that, the Mercs are... No progress on the spray painting. I've got to push the guy to get it painted. I think he's been a little slack, so might have to give him some sort of nudge or somehow some sort of incentive to keep working on my car rather than just leaving it there.
Clubs of beer tend to help. That's
maybe a threat.
A threat. It's hard to threaten someone when you're not paying him anything for it.
Yeah, that is.
It's sort of a favour, but he's actually had a long time favour. You know, me helping him out with the storage yard with his cars. He's got a Celica on my yard, an old Mustang look Celica. Then he's got a VK Commodore sitting there as well in my yard. So, for that. So, you know, hey.
You know, something might accidentally happen to them, you know.
Never know. You never know.
And, you can't be responsible for that.
No, I can't be. No. Well, I've been really disappointed at auctions recently. I've been going to Mannheim's to see if we can find Harley some sort of runabout car because he doesn't want to drive his C63 to Hoppers Crossing every day for work.
What do you want, Rob? I've got like four of them.
What do you want, Harley? Nothing? He's just shaking his head at me like,
I've got BMW, I've got Yaris.
Yaris? How about a Yaris?
What about the little Impreza? That's beautiful.
No, he doesn't like Subarus at all.
Oh, okay. What about a Mazda 6? This is my friends from down the road. Mazda 6 Sports Luxury Leather Bose Roof, red.
No? You have to, like, a station wagon or a hatchback are your house?
Well, that's a hatchback. You can fold the seats in that. It's huge.
Yeah. Can we fit the dog in there?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, maybe.
And it's got the boot liner. It's got that nice big rubber Mazda genuine boot liner.
Oh, well, there you go. We might have to resort to that because he's... Okay. I don't think he's not allowed to drive my Mustang. I've told him that Mustang's out of bounds.
Texting you a photo of it now.
Send me the photo.
All right.
You never know. But
I think I do know, but anyway.
I'm sort of more and more reluctant on the cars that he wants because I don't think they're overly reliable. I bid it on, actually, I don't know why. it went cheap, and I could have got it. It was a Jeep Grand Cherokee V8, a 5.7 litre. It was a 2013 model, or 10 or 13. It was one of the first of the newer shapes.
Yeah.
For $7,200.
It's probably a good reason why it's that price, Rob.
Yeah, it was a bit rough around edges. It was rough.
Yeah.
Angel Light was on too. But that always gives it away, doesn't it?
Yeah, the old engine light. Oh, it's just an oxy sensor.
Yeah, that's what they always say.
Yeah, just an oxy sensor.
Easy. Oh, yeah, easy. Yeah,
that looks pretty clean, Ed.
It is clean.
And it's what? It's $39,990 drive away?
I'll do it even less, Rob. It's done 190Ks. It's had a very good service history. It's just been serviced in June. It's got good tires on it. It was a one owner. I helped him buy it. And as soon as I walked around it, I was like, well, this thing's been garaged and serviced and looked after. Yeah, it is a clean car, that mess.
And what year is that one?
August 09. So it's got long reg till next year. Roof racks he just put on it. He's only had it like since maybe a year.
Okay.
And it was the original owner before that who I went with him to buy it.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's just one of those things. You rock up to their house and I was like, and the way the guy was talking, he had factory mats and he had lamb's wool covers over the leather and, you know, just like.
Yeah, really looked after it.
Old guy really looked after it. And I just said, if you don't buy this car, you're an idiot. Like, and he goes, oh, it's done up a few Ks. I think they're all getting up there and Ks aren't everything. It's maintenance. And this thing has been beautifully maintained.
It does look like it looks very clean.
Yep, yep, yep. Anyway, if you know anyone, even if it's not Harley.
Yep, I'll
I reckon that car's around 10-ish, you know, long ridge and roadie, 10-ish grand would buy that.
That's pretty much it, Matty.
Sounds good. Updates with me, not much. I'm driving the MR2 still, which has been good. Took the Typhoon out for a drive on Saturday night. Saturday night. And basically a guy slammed on the brakes in front of me.
Oh.
And I missed him by, you know, a bee's whizzer. And he slammed the brakes for absolutely no reason. Going around a corner, he thought he had to give way to somebody and slammed on the brakes. I'm like, you've got the green arrow. They give way to you. So I then proceeded to put my foot down to go around him and proceeded to pass him sideways. So I was like, I knew the car needed tires, but I didn't realize they needed tires this bad. And I was like, okay, I need to get tires for it. I had Steph use many words I never heard her use before at me. So that was quite funny. And basically, I booked it in for a couple of weeks to get some tires, which will solve that problem hopefully a lot better. But that's been pretty much it on my end.
I just want to bring up one thing, Matt. I was at Matt's house very briefly last night, and Scotty, you talked about it. Reminded me, you talked about art in the garage, I think. I get to Maddie's house. He opens up his garage. There's like five beautifully framed posters along one wall. It's like museum quality.
What is it?
Of all his cars in age order. And I was like, whoa, this is nice.
Yeah, and it's all perfect, like gapped.
Very nicely aligned. I did like that. And then that was
beautiful.
I assisted with part two of what you said, Scott, shelving. There's free shelving going from my sister's house around the corner that they're, you know, pulling down the house and whatever, which is going to tidy up the back wall of Maddie's garage very nicely to make it even more museum-esque.
Absolutely.
So, Matt.
I was inspired by our trip to Japan when they had all the original brochures framed, you know, like they're blown up and framed in A1. So I was like, oh, that's a cool idea. So I got the original brochures for all my cars and I blew them up and basically printed them out on the big printer at work. And work, if you're listening, I didn't do that, but and bought some frames. Yeah. And basically, you know, I was putting them up and Steph's like, hang on a minute, we're going to measure this properly. And I was measuring it kind of half-assed and she gets out the tape measure and she's like, there we go, yeah, perfect, put it there. And yeah, and I stood back
on it.
That works well. So yeah, it actually lines up the whole garage. It actually makes it look kind of like a nice place to go.
Thanks. There'll be a couple of chairs, a little
in
the corner, and a bit of a.
I've got those two chairs in mind that I found in hard rubbish. The little fold-up ones with stripes on them. I just fold them up and lean them against the wall. But whenever like someone's washing a car, I'll just pull one out and. You know, if someone comes around, you just hang there. You do. You just in the summer, you just sort of have a beer and sit in the garage.
Nice.
That's a lovely thing. Now, gentlemen, tonight's topic, I wanted to discuss a few things. I wanted to discuss one, pointless cars that are on sale currently. So these are new cars that we think are just like, why would people buy that? It's a pointless car. Now, before we go on and say, oh, every SUV ever, we have to come to terms with SUVs are the second biggest cars, biggest range of cars sold in Australia behind, you know, dual cab utes. So I've kind of succumbed to the thing of like, you know what, it's going to have to be an SUV. That's SUVs are what they are. You can't really buy sedans much here anymore. So, you know, I guess that kind of makes them, you know, makes them not pointless, even though I think they are. But I got thinking of like what new cars on sale today are quite pointless. And straight away, you know, every dual cab ute I see is never seen a dirt road. They're lifted on massive, you know, 45-inch wheels and, you know, and seriously haven't seen a gravel road, and terrorize the streets and make us all look bad. But I'm not going to put them all in one category because I wanted to be specific about cars that we think that are kind of pointless on sale today. Now, a few in particular have come to mind over you know the last few days because Steph's been looking at different things and then having a sus, and she's like, what do you think? Why would they make a car like XYZ? And I'm like, you know what? That is a good question. I don't know why they make a car like that. For example, the BMW X6 with its sloping roofline to the point where it's pointless. It's just the aesthetic look, which I don't even think it looks that good. And you lose luggage space, you lose headroom in the back. Again, a pointless vehicle. What are some other examples that you guys think that are just completely pointless and why?
Me?
Scotty, take the floor, mate.
I'm not sure if they still, I think they still sell it, but I'm sure it's probably on everyone's list, but the Evoque convertible.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like, really? You don't buy something like that. A sports car is a convertible. You don't buy a massive four-wheel drive as a convertible. That is pointless.
I saw one the other day, Scotty, leaving work. It was one of the parents picking up a kid. She had the roof down, music blaring. And I'm just like, one, it's exactly from the area that I'm about. Like they would have bought this car after the original owner or like four owners later. It's leaking coolant because they all do. And I'm just like, I'm looking at it, I'm like, it is a vile, vile car. Like that is just a horrible, horribly designed car. I know Victoria Beckham had something to do with it, but you might be able to inverted commas sing, but you can't design a car. And that is a complete, absolute example of that. Scotty, that is a horrendous car. Like that is, I don't know why that existed.
Yeah, it's just the most pointless thing ever. You get a four-wheel drive for the four-wheel driving part. You don't get it for the convertible part. That's what you get a nice small sports car for. They shouldn't
crossing combine. Over where nothing we didn't combine.
Don't combine those two breeds.
Yeah, no. Shouldn't happen. I don't know why it did. Shouldn't have.
I mean, there was a Murano convertible as well. Which was like, you pick your poison. I'd probably go the Murano because it'd be reliable ish. But still, not a good car.
Do our picks have to be cars sold here in Australia?
It doesn't. That don't have to be, but
I'm sure this one will cover quite a bit too. But small cars making like bigger versions of little cars. For example, they got that Fiat 500L. Why? The whole point of it is it's a small car. That's what you get it for. You don't want a longer version of it. I mean, Mini have done it too. Some other versions, a longer version.
It's in the name.
Be a small car.
Little.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to put all Minis bar the actual like standard size Mini. Like they're all pointless. Like they're huge. They're bigger than they're bigger than my Laser. Like they're big cars now. And I'm just like, well, what is the point of that? Like that makes absolutely no sense. But to add to that point, like I mean, Ed, you would have seen so many go through the doors down at BMW Melbourne. You would have just been like, why would you buy that?
The only one that ever resonated with me was the three door in the new Mini. It's a fun little city car and very chuckable and all of that. But all the other versions of it, I'm like just sort of nonchalant about them. I don't get too interested.
Yeah. I saw one today with that baseball cap roof, that convertible.
Yeah.
Baseball cap
roof. Oh, yeah.
And Paceman.
There was a while there where they had the normal Mini two door, convertible, the Clubman, which was the wagony one, the Paceman, which was like a little mini soft top convertible, but sort of different to the normal convertible, more racy. And then they had a coupe, a mini coupe, like a hard top Paceman sort of one. And in the end, they got rid of the Paceman and that hard top coupe thing because it was like they sold three of them. And they just went back to the normal one. And then they brought out the Countryman, which is on the X1 chassis, which is really a small SUV in mini, So the one thing they haven't done is a Moke. Bring back the Moke. That'd be interesting to see. I don't think it'd...
That wouldn't be able to afford one.
I don't think it'd be about regulations.
Yeah, I don't think it'd pass the stringent NCAP and NCAP safety ratings.
Yeah, for me, if I was getting a new Mini, it's just going to be the normal Mini. I don't want any of the other ones. Having said that, my friend Nick Genius has the he's got the, what is it, Clubman with the barn doors at the back.
Yeah.
And that's
John Cooper Works one too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a JCW. So, A, it flies. It's got all the tech in it. But the barn doors, like he did the remote the other day and the doors go like they open themselves sort of thing. And it's kind of, I don't know, I sort of, it's like a minivan, you know, the original minivan a bit. So I sort of was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
That's probably the exception to the rule because they did do minivans back in the day, right? So like
they, yeah, they did, yeah.
So that is the exception to the rule.
Yeah, it's sort of okay, yeah.
Yeah. Here's one for you guys. The current Golf R, $80,000 for a Golf.
Wow. A lot of money.
Is that even point? Is it like what is the point of that? Like, and you see them on the road. There's the new ones do get around. I'm like, why would you spend $80,000 on a Golf? You know, like I find that a pointless car. And I also find like the A45 AMG, you know, over $100,000 a pointless car. Like, it's a hatchback. Like, you know, what are you doing? You know, like
a lot of things I'd rather buy than that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What about a Hummer? Hummers are pointless to me. You can't park them anywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the new Hummers are full electric. So that
it's anything that gets to that size, I just lose interest. I think, where do you put this at a shopping center? Where do you put it at your house? Where you can't parallel it anywhere. It just becomes pointless, as they say.
Are those big, like Dodge Rams and the big Chev ones, are they actually bigger than a Hummer? About the same size?
They're probably about the same.
Well, I'd say like the standard ones, like the F-150s and you know, and Rams. But when you're getting like your big Julies, like your big 250, 350s.
Denalis.
Crazy town. Like what do you have to be towing to justify that for it not to be pointless?
Well, I had a guy coming to work and he's got a Denali and, you know, I was getting him some, you know, some service bits for it. And I actually asked him, I'm like, why did you buy a Denali? I said with all sincerity, like I just don't know why, you know, like I'm just curious. And he's like, look, I get this question a lot. It drinks fuel like I've never seen anything drink fuel before, but it does everything I need. It tows his big you know, big caravan float thing. It tows that, like it's like, you don't feel it. It's like in all these other, you know, cab utes. Yeah, they don't do it as well. He's like, I feel safer in it. It drives well. Yeah, it takes up four lanes, but you know, it does its intended purpose. And I'm like, okay,
you have to be towing something pretty damn heavy.
It's a massive flow, like it was huge. And I'm like, okay, well, I understand that, like big LS engine, you know, big V8. But in the same token, I was just like, that's. I mean, Rob you, and David you, and Edward, you guys have all been to the States. Do those cars, do they work there or are they still even too big there?
They're probably starting to get too big. A lot of the car park spaces in the US over the last 20, 30 years have started to shrink. So they're struggling to find parking spaces for their cars as well. But they're still driving a lot of them around, but you see a lot towing fifth wheelers with the hitches.
In the tray.
So they are towing around some big trailers, and they're allowed to go longer and wider. So they're bigger than that. Like the cars on the roads and trucks on the roads over there, and the buses, the RVs. Some of them you can't even bring across here because they won't be. You can't register them. They're too big.
I've heard they have to have those to because the cup holders are bigger for their liter. Drinks from they're supersized drinks from the drive-through,
and you can get refills over there. Over here, apparently,
there is better.
Not liters, David, as gallons.
Yeah, sure.
I think the opposite is Japan. You know, you look at Japan and the minimalism that is sort of throughout the whole culture with everything, and that has to be the opposite to the US, doesn't it?
Okay, trucks rule. Just saying. Just on discussing the dual cab utes, my award for the most useless car on the market is the LDV ET60 ute, which you can buy in Australia now for $92,990.
That's for an LDV.
That's an electric LDV ute that it's only rear-wheel drive. It has a 330-kilometre claimed driving range, which means in the real world, if that. And 1,000-kilogram braked tone capacity. So,
what are you going to do with that?
Precisely. There you go.
And it's 90 the grand.
$92,990.
I had this chat with Riz about that exact car, and he went to the launch. He's like, what a pointless car. Like it doesn't do anything right. Like it shouldn't exist. Like it doesn't work.
You're right. Any electric ute is pointless. I mean, unless you're going to just a tradie that drives around town, doesn't go away for the weekends.
That's most of them, Rob. That's pretty much all of them.
but they do go out bush bashing. A lot of tradies, they do drive them hard and go out on the weekends and whatnot. Yeah, you see the ones with the guys who actually put big wheels and tires on them, they do tend to use them. Then there's the other mob that don't. Yeah, with their wild tracks and their Ranger Raptors probably never go off road.
I like Rogue.
Rogue. But you know, some other pointless vehicles, I reckon, is like a Rolls Royce Cullinan or Vega. Like, why would you have a car that's got all these heaps of body roll and you're never going to take it off road? So you might as well just get a nice luxury Rolls Royce.
I'd say get a proper Bentley, not an SUV Bentley.
Hmm. Yeah, so
I'd agree with that.
I'd feel very cheated if I got that.
I think the Cullinan is such a it's a Saudi Arabian's knight's car, really, isn't it? Like, it's just like, look what I've got. I've got the most expensive one you could buy, even though it's terrible. And I'm sure it's nice inside. And I don't know, David, if you've worked on
it. It looks shit though. The styling's not nice.
Yeah, the styling's terrible on the outside, but like, I'm sure they're nice on the inside. But like, I'm just like, what is the point of that car? Like, it's how much are they? $500,000, $600,000?
$9,000 for that one.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. I know I could buy a lot of other stuff rather than that and have it actually.
A couple of S-Class, different color, or have an S-Class and a Porsche or something. You have a really nice garage for that money.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a dealership yesterday and I'm sitting on the floor just about to be delivered was a new Maybach S680. With a 6.8-litre V12 shadow tone. Think back, and some of you boys are younger than this car. What actually was the VC Commodore SL that was available in shadow tone paint. Yeah. So this was black over white.
Mm-hmm.
So usually shadow tone, you can have a bit of a contrast, but it looked black over white. It was not
like a penguin.
Yeah, like a penguin, precisely. Very good. Like a penguin. And, V12, long wheelbase, it took up a lot of real estate.
And how much is that vehicle?
That car, I just Googled it. I think it's $574,000.
Mm. I'll get my checkbook. I mean, to be fair, after going in a Maybach for a trip around Adelaide that Steph organised for me, it was pretty cool. Like, it felt special.
But it felt special. I didn't want to feel special for fun.
I mean, the one I went in had done 200,000 k's. It was used and used.
I remember you talking about that. Yeah.
And I was actually I was one of the last people to go in it before they sold it. But the the maintenance on it, that's just horrendous. But I mean, I don't know why they would go for yin and yang / penguin colors on a car like that. Like, that kind of doesn't make sense.
It's bizarre.
What other pointless cars do we know, gentlemen, that are just currently on sale today?
Oh, that's the hard bit. Currently on sale.
Currently on sale. I followed one today and I did think, I don't know why that car exists. The Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross.
Yeah.
If it was, it's sort of stuck between the ASX and the Outlander.
Mm.
And it's like, if it was a really, cutting edge design or really funky looking thing, well and good, but it's not.
It's pretty ugly.
Completely different to either the Outlander's probably now got the funky sort of update with the funky front end and stuff like that. But yeah, I've got to say that. And the other car that is currently on sale that I don't sort of quite get the Suzuki Baleno. Like, they're still selling them.
They're going.
Sorry?
They're still going.
Still going.
Baleno. Yeah. They're brand new ones sitting down in Penfolds Holding Yard on Highbury Road today.
Really?
And you're like, you know.
I picture that.
Jimny's are cool. You know, Vitara's are quirky if you want a small SUV. But the Baleno's sort of nothing, really, you know.
It's the car that your grandmother buys as her last car. What that?
Yeah, it's exactly right.
She buys it because she wants the cheapest, virtually one of the cheapest new cars.
Why would you buy that over a Swift? Like, a Swift's a bit of a funky.
Well, I mean, it's a bit more conservative for your grandma. Yeah, she doesn't want to have you know.
Yeah, it's almost looks a bit SUV-ish.
Yeah.
But it's a real nothing car. Yeah.
Here's one.
For you. Get rid of it.
The MX-30 by Mazda. That is a pointless car. Like, I'm sorry. That, like, there is absolutely no space in it. The back suicide doors are ridiculous. It doesn't look very good. It's just like, I mean, Mazda say it's the SUV that defines convention. Yeah, convention of just being nothing.
Convention of being useful.
Yeah. You know, it's a five-seater, but good luck getting into the back of it. Like, the boot space is pointless. It's a mild hybrid kind of thing, but it's expensive, and I can see why they're dropping it out of the Australian range, because one, it doesn't sell, and two, it's not people aren't stupid enough to buy it to say, oh, you know, I bought the MX-30 over the CX-5 because I like the styling. No, that's not how that works. That's just a pointless car.
Nobody.
Yeah. But yeah, that for me is another one. There's a few Mercs I can cover. I already mentioned the current A45 AMG, which I think is just an incredible amount of money for what is a hatchback. Any other ones before I cover some more, good gentlemen?
Say, what's everyone's thoughts around the Porsche Rough Road?
What?
The Porsche. It's a 911.
The Dakar.
The Dakar. Yeah.
How, what is it? A jacked up 911?
Yeah.
With chunky tires?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of cool.
I don't. I disagree. I think you're taking a car that's meant to go around corners properly and be a proper sports car and turning it into a car that does none of those things. And it just kind of looks cool because it's jacked up. And I'm like, but isn't that an SUV? So what is the actual point of that car?
There's actually a real arrogance around it too, I reckon, from the point of view. You take this, what are they, $500,000, $600,000,
like that.
And you make it look cooler by slamming it through the bush, you know, like, and making it absolutely filthy so that, you know, the detailer's never going to get the dirt out of all the crevices in the history of the car.
It's a car that Whistling Diesel would buy just to break it, just because he that's the type of guy he is.
Like, if you had an older one, you know, an older one, a bit tatty around the ears, you know, do it to that rather than actually going out of your way to buy one that's not going to do the job properly, either job really, is it? You know, it's got to be comparable.
I mean, you make a good point. And I get why they've done it, because Porsche did do Dakar-esque stuff back in the day, and I understand the concept behind it. And it'd be cool as a concept car, but for something like that, people can actually buy. And for people that turn their, like, old air-cooled 911s into Safaris, you know, I just find them like, why? Why would you do that? Like, I get people can do what you want with your car. It's your money.
Matt, it looks cool.
Yeah, it looks cool, but, like, you know, you're going to go and you're going to get stuck in a ditch because you've still got rear wheel drive and you're not going to do anything. You're
going to be like, you've got all the weight over the driven wheels. It's perfect. What's that car that looks like a snail that's new? I've seen a couple of them. They're sort of real curvy snail.
The MG.
Ionic.
That's it.
Ionic 6.
Ionic 6.
The hell's that?
Slaterbug car.
I saw one this morning in a driveway and just went, what are they doing?
which is so weird because the Ioniq 5 looks epic. I think
I love the Ioniq 5. I'm a big fan of that car.
Yeah.
As we've discussed here before, a lot of non-car people, or even a lot of car people, like that car. Mm-hmm. You know, The fact that it's Hyundai and electric is sort of by the by. It's just, it's sort of a good looking retro machine. But that, so that's Ioniq 6, the Slater Bug one.
Mm.
It's weird. I mean, I like a Renault 16, you know, I like a curvy French car, but there's something not right about that.
Yeah, I'm.
I think I'd have it tested for ADHD or something, you know, that's not right. Not there's anything wrong with that. Sorry, I don't want
to. Back to Porsche, I've got to say, I don't have a much love for a Panamera.
No, never did. No. And my friend wanted to buy one. Whoa, Ed, I'm thinking about a Porsche. You know, what about one of these Panameras? I said, no, they are the orphan of the Porsche world, let alone maybe just the world. But if you're buying a Porsche, what are you trying to do? It's a Mazda 6 hatch, like the one I'm frigging trying to flog in Porsche form. Like, yes. And it's elongated and it's 300 grand. Like, really? What? No. Mm-hmm. No. Get yourself a 911 and a secondhand Tarago and you'll be happier.
Rob's laughing.
But go buy a real Porsche.
Ali laughing at me and Ed.
For the days you want a real Porsche, go buy a real Porsche and then just get a shitter as the daily hack, you know. So, at least you'd have some credibility, but a Panamera, look.
Like, I mean, it's one of those cars that, it's, for me, it's a compromised car, the Panamera. It's trying to be four different things. It's trying to be a sports car. It's trying to be a luxury car. It's trying to be a family car, and it's trying to be, inverted commas, a statement good looking car. And it completely misses all targets. And I agree with you. I think it's a pointless car. I think it's a compromise. I think it's a very compromised car. What's Maserati's SUV? The Levante, is that what it's called?
There are two now. There's the Levante and the Grecale. Yeah.
I'm just like, what is the point? Like, you know, I mean, everyone's going SUVs, but I don't get, you know, performance over the top. I don't get the RSQ3. I don't get that car. Like, I think it's a pointless car. It's compromised. If you want all that performance with more boot space, you get an RS3, you know, hatch. You know, like, I don't know why you'd buy the RSQ3. It's uglier. It's heavier. It doesn't look as good. There's not enough space. So, like, for me, that's a very, you know, pointless car. Like, and the same thing with, like, you know, performance cars that shouldn't be performance cars, like the Ranger Raptor. Like, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. I think it's cool, but it's a pointless car. Like, you know, as you said, Rob, nobody's going to take that off road. Nobody's going to enjoy that car. I see them driving like absolute idiots in my area. Yeah, and they don't sound very good, and flying past me, you know, cutting me off and changing lanes. But I'm just like, that's a pointless car. Like, it's got all this power, unless you're using it as a jumping truck to, you know, taking it like off like the Baja or anything. It's pointless. It makes no sense.
Yeah, anyway. Right. And G-Wagon, as much as I love the G-Wagon, I'd rather have a G-Wagon, the diesel, that I can go off-road with and put the bigger wheels and tires on it and actually use it, because it's capable of doing a lot. But once you put road tires on it, it's just a road car.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Like the proper way to do a G-Wagon is like a, you know, like a, not the big V8. It's the, you know, it's off-roading. It's actually using it for its intended purpose. And I
the think best bet there's buying like an ex-army one or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Any last ones, gentlemen, before we get into tonight's car quiz?
I'm thinking you can disagree, but Pajero Sport.
Oh, okay. Rob, you had one of these.
I did. And at the time, they were value for money. You can take them off-road. They're quite capable off-road. They're not bad on fuel as a, you know, a compromise car that the family can use. You could throw your dog in there, go to the beach, tow your jet ski, your bikes. And for what you paid for in the past, but currently they're just too expensive. They're overpriced for what they are. Yeah. But they were quite affordable, and they'll at the right price point for an all-purpose type vehicle, because you can't get station wagons anymore as a car. So the car of choice, really.
And why do you think it's a pointless car, Scotty?
I think it's probably in the name.
No, the name Sport. It's not a sport.
Yeah.
It's simply not a sport.
Yeah. And then as you're saying,
Pajero Jiggly bouncy wheels or something, but not a sport.
Subscribing to the Range Rover Sport demographic, I think.
Yeah, mindset.
Yeah, I think they'll.
Kind of, you get a butler, you get the yurt, You get the spa.
And the chandelier in the tree.
Chandelier in the tree.
What about the Mustang Mach-E?
The Mustang Mach-E. Haven't even heard of that. What's that?
Oh.
Limited edition, is it?
No, it's a SUV electric Ford.
Mach-E.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mac-E. I thought you said, yep.
Oh, Mach-E.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yep. I just think it's a tragedy that they had the Mustang name or badge associated with it anyway.
Touched on that last time. I think the reason why they've done that is for emissions and having the car pool.
Yeah.
They
can still keep on making V8s. And then Ford handed to them or granted to them that they're the only ones who are still making attainable V8 coupes, you know, that they're not $200,000 or, you know, like or $250,000 or Corvettes of ridiculous prices. There's nothing, I can't picture anything in that price range, even at 80K.
They're the last car to do it, really, aren't they? Yeah. So, like, and the Mustang's got its place. Like, I think, like, the standard Mustang does. It's a sports car, but it's the last of its kind. It's good value. So, yeah, I think that's. Anyway, gentlemen, is it time for the car quiz? I think Edward Bunting's back.
I do apologise. I was just fetching Renault Rob from the front door of my house.
He's convenient when he comes in for the quiz, isn't he?
Slides on in
and wants all the accolades.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Harley, please.
Harley, get on the camera.
Come on, jump in, Harley.
I'm not willing to do that.
Jump in, quiz, Harley.
Come on, Harley. What's going on? Have you got a bad haircut? What's happening?
He's antisocial, he is.
Why aren't you on the podcast tonight, Harley?
I've been sick.
You've got a cough.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing it.
I
don't hear at least one or two throughout this quiz.
All right, guys, let's get into the quiz. Question one. BYD, build your dreams.
Ed.
Edward.
Oh, yes. I was going to say build your dreams, but you said that.
They're a bit early.
You got to be quick. There's a big gang. You got to get in quick.
Yeah.
BYD has called upon experts to help make their new dual cab ute. Where are these experts coming from?
David. Australia?
They are from Australia. From what companies?
Oh, you didn't ask which company. Ed. Where are they coming from?
I'll give you 1 point. And I'll
my guess, Carver, again.
Well, I mean, it's still David's guess.
All right, come on then. Rob, hang on.
I'm still my guess. I'm contemplating. Contemplating, Rob.
What part of it is still David's guess do we not understand?
Good job.
I will say Ford.
That's 0.5.
That's what I was going to say.
Who would like the other 0.5?
Ed, Toyota.
Ed, incorrect.
Harley, cough if it's Mazda.
What up, engineering mobs are in Australia? Rob, Toyota. Rob,
incorrect.
I said Toyota.
Not anymore.
Are we all out, or we all want to give it a try? Anyone else going to give it one last crack?
Scotty. I'll go Mitsubishi.
Mitsubishi's incorrect. Anyone else for a last guess?
It would have to be Holden, wouldn't it?
It would be Holden. David, you get the extra 0.5. So David is on 2 currently. David,
from one question.
Score check, you're on 2. Everyone else is on 0, just so you know. Question 2. A stolen Ford Mustang worth around $400,000 was stolen recently. Who dobbed in the thief?
Rob.
The mum, correct. The
oh,
mum.
Really? I didn't hear that. That's gold.
Dobbed him in. Well done.
For Mustang Motorsport.
There you go.
So they wrapped it in black. Spoiler, didn't they?
You clean up your room. I'm going to tell on you this car. Ma, shut up. Where from you come from? I know you have no money. Police.
Anyway, question. Question 3. The last Mercedes SL. Which was the last Mercedes SL that was offered with a manual transmission?
Offered with a in an SL?
In an SL. Which was the last one to offer a manual transmission?
Ed. The R107.
Incorrect.
Interesting.
Scott.
Scott.
What? Trick question, none.
Incorrect.
Ah, dang.
Yeah. Hang on. I'm going around the Ben's magazine.
Hang on a minute. We can all play that game.
Wait, are you pointing at that car, Rob? Is that your answer?
Yeah.
That it would be correct. It is the R129. Well done.
Hey. Wow. I thought they were all autos.
No. You get them as a manual overseas.
Are you talking overseas?
Yeah, like in general, like the last
SMT. Oh, here we go.
You're having a sook. So, bonus question. How many generations of the Mercedes SL have there been?
Ed.
You reckon it's 86?
Incorrect for 6?
No, I reckon there'll be 9.
Incorrect for 9?
David? 5. 5
incorrect. Scotty?
7?
That is correct, Scotty. What on 7?
There we go.
I thought I was going to get a chance to win that one.
It could have been you, Renner Rob. That could have been you.
I was going to say 7. Do I get half a point?
I was going to have the more numbers last week too.
Very good, very good. Question 4. Sticking with Mercedes SLs, the R107 560 SL was only sold in which countries? I'll give you 0.5 for each.
Australia.
Ed started. Ed's got 1.5. Yep. What else, Ed?
USA.
That is another 0.5.
Germany.
Incorrect. Who's next?
David. UK.
That is incorrect. Next guess. Rob.
Rob. Africa.
Incorrect. So the big block 560 was only sold in 1, 2, 3, 4 countries, and you've named and Edward has named 2 of them.
Saudi Arabia.
Incorrect. No, I like your thinking, man. I think that was a good guess.
Solid guess.
Lots of
Scott.
New Zealand.
New Zealand is incorrect.
Mm. I thought if it was sold here, it'd be sold there too.
So you guys have all used your chances. It was sold in the US, as Edward said, and Australia, as you said, but also sold in Canada and Japan. They were the only 4 countries to get the big block SL.
Not in the UK?
Not in the UK. They were only sold, factory delivered in US, Canada, Japan, and Australia.
I worked on one today.
Oh, right.
You're the only one who can claim that, David.
Question 5. The R32 name first appeared on which generation of VW Golf?
Ed. Golf Mark 5.
Incorrect.
4.
Scott.
Harley got in there.
4
is correct. Well done.
Really?
Yep, that is absolutely correct. That was when it first achieved. Bonus question. How many generations came out with an R32?
Ed. 2.
2 is correct, Edward. Well done. All right. Score check at the halfway point. We've got Rob and Harley leading on 3, David on 2, Scotty on 1, Edward on 2, and Renner Rob yet to score. Come on, Renner Rob. I believe in you.
Renner Rob, you don't even have a cough. On 2, I've heard nothing from Harley. It's a respiratory issue.
Correctly.
There's nothing. It's clear as a bell.
All right, next question. Question 6. How many S2000s were sold by Honda? I'll give you closest 2, we'll get the chocolates.
Ooh. In Australia or worldwide?
In the worldwide, how many were sold?
Worldwide.
I couldn't get an answer of Australian cars. I looked for that. So, but I went worldwide.
Ed. 40,000.
40,000, says Edward.
David, I'll go 75.
75, says David.
It's not being as high, actually. I don't know. I just text Melissa wrong, she'll know.
She'll know.
I will go next. I'm going to say 100,000.
100,000, says Scotty.
I'll go, Harley, what do you reckon? I'm saying 85,000.
85, says Rob. And Renner, Rob?
110,000.
110,000 made.
All in.
All in.
Okay.
They made 113,800.
Oh, well done, Renner.
Let it ride.
They made 113,889 of them.
That's a lot of revs.
That's a lot of revs.
A lot of those.
Question 7. Diamond Star Motors was a joint venture between which companies?
Ed.
Ed.
Mitsubishi.
Yeah, and?
Mercedes.
Incorrect. So you get 0.5, Edward.
It's a diamond. One has a diamond, one has a star.
Diamond star.
Rob?
Rob.
Peugeot.
Incorrect.
Oh, good question. Good guess, though.
Jeez, I don't all rush in.
No idea.
I mean, I've done my bit. I said the 1.5. Diamond Star Motors was a which company?
Diamond Star.
Diamond Star.
Did you guess that, Scotty?
Was the can you say the question one more time? Yeah,
Diamond Star Motors was Diamond Star Motors was a joint venture between which car companies?
So one was already Mitsubishi. Is the other one Subaru?
Incorrect.
Ooh, another good guess though, because of the
same. Sure you don't.
Oh, I got it. Chrysler.
It is Chrysler. Well done.
Oh, yeah.
That is correct. Score check. Ed.
That's embarrassing.
Rob Harley and Ed are on 3 apiece. David on 2. Scotty and Renner Rob on 1 apiece.
At least I'm beating Maddie this round, so that's all right.
It's true. It's true. Question 8. The new Land Rover Defender comes out in 3 specs. What are they called? 0.5 for each.
Get and shit out.
Yeah, I would agree with you, but that's not the answer. David.
I don't know.
No, I think I've got this wrong. I think I'm too old school.
One with the cancerous growth on the back.
I was going to say HSE and something else, but I think they've got names.
Yeah, they do. That's incorrect, David.
Oh, dynamic. No, that doesn't
matter. No, that's incorrect. I'm after the Defender and then there's something after it. That's what it's called.
Parked, broken, and stalled.
That is also very true. I'd love to give you 0.5, but this is quite a close game, so I don't think I will.
Defender stubby, regular, and long boy.
I wish it was.
Long boy.
Right.
Isn't that like a surfboard or something? Like a long boy?
I saw one today. It's a 7-7 Defender, and it's got this big bit sticking out the back over the rear wheels.
Oh, another cancerous growth.
Hmm. Yeah, it's all right.
No.
You guys are all out. All done. Yep. Final call. It's the Defender 90, Defender 110, and Defender 130.
Well, that makes sense because they've done that for years.
Yep, that would make sense.
None of us got it right.
None of us.
I thought that was an easy one you'd get for sure, but if that's hard, this next British question is going to be even harder. The new Lotus all-electric hyper SUV, they call it, is called the what?
Harley. The Electra?
Electra is correct, man. Well done.
Very nice.
Ooh. Question 10. Besides Bavarian Motorwerks, BMW, Chris Bangle, David Prince's best friend, worked for what other two car companies? David.
Fiat.
That is one. I'll give you another point if you get the last one.
What other ugly cars were there, Truth? No, definitely no, it's Fiat, but I can't think of the other one.
Have a punt.
Peugeot.
Incorrect. Anyone else would like to have a punt? It's a
Subaru.
So Subaru was incorrect.
Can I come in and snap it up?
Scotty, you can, yeah.
Yeah, it's Opel.
It is Opel. Well done, Scotty.
Yeah, Opel.
Opel.
I done the Calibra and the Insignia.
I remember reading about him not that long ago.
All right.
He designed that Fiat Coupe. Damon used to have one.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
The yellow one that he had that looks like a concrete slab's fallen on it.
on the back.
Another one. Wage lines to blazers. It was just not a pretty thing.
That is your car quiz, ladies and gentlemen. Score check. Renner Rob on one, Scotty on two. Second place equal is David and Edward. And tonight's winners on a grand total of four, Mr. Rob and Harley. See, Harley, if you weren't there to say the electro name, you know, thanks, and cough, there it is.
You got that, Harley. You wouldn't have got it.
Yeah.
He survived the plague. And he's come forth to win the car quiz. So
spreading it through the family.
Absolutely.
Caring and caring.
Caring is caring, absolutely. that's the way it works, isn't it? Gentlemen, I think that's a podcast.
Thank you very much.
Awesome work.
I must disappear. Thank you all.
No worries, Edward. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you very much. Take care. David Prince, you do a podcast.
Oh, he's gone. He's gone. Leaves a heavy lifting to me.
He stitched you up. He stitched you up is what he's done.
We do. And we're going to get back into it. Promise. We've been saying that for about a year now. Mm-hmm. Actually, over a year. But yes, there's moves afoot. It's called Auto Retro. And we talk to people about the cars of their lives and the stories behind the cars of their lives. And it's on, the first series is on YouTube and Spotify and all the regular podcasting platforms.
Mm, awesome. Rob's fabrications, firefighting, panel beating, burglaries.
Hello?
He was trying to get people trying to rob him, but Rob Securities was that good?
Oh, okay, that's it. Yep, cool.
Electrical work, painting, everything. You know, he's your guy. Speak to Rob. He's the man.
He's the man.
And Harley's coughs. If you want to cough, go see Harley. he's given us a thumbs up. Scotty Doe, golf tip of the week.
All right, so this one I'm thinking of weather. So if you're playing in the rain, what you want to really make sure you have is just a microfiber cloth or something so you can keep that club clean, get rid of all the mud, especially on your golf ball, especially when it's on the green. That's when you can remove your golf ball, clean it, and it won't go as far. So if you normally look at the distance and you go, you'd play 7-iron, go a 6 instead, go 1 up.
Okay.
Won't go as far.
There you go. Great tip. You're the first. Like and share our Facebook page. It's Car Talk TORQ with Manny J. If you miss any of our previous episodes, they're all up on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasting apps. So don't forget to subscribe, rate, and view to us there. Check out our merch. Go to Teespring Store. Go to teespring.com and type in Car Talk Store. Buy some merch there to support us or support the show by becoming a patron to our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/Car Talk Podcast. Hi to our patrons. You know who you are. Gentlemen, always good to see you guys, and I'll see you next time. Take it easy.
See you. See ya.
Bye.
See ya. Oil.